Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And Dylan, we're ready to get into some win total projections for NFL teams, part of our 2023 season preview. And now we're going to kind of look at the AFC as a whole. Usually we do this by divisions. Both of us have been under the weather at various points over the past several weeks and has not allowed us to record. But, hey, you didn't want to hear our voices during that stretch, trust me. But now we're back, and we're going to kind of lump all these together with the AFC. And so let's start, Dylan, with the AFC East because, you know, obviously I think you've got some very interesting storylines in that one, especially given what's going on with the Jets now with Aaron Rodgers. But if we look at the win total projections for the AFC East, it starts with the Bills, 10.5. The Dolphins are at 9.5. The Jets also at 9.5. And then you've got the Patriots at 7.5, which just feels strange to see the Patriots at the bottom there, even a couple wins back in terms of the win total projections. Dylan, your thoughts just kind of on where things stand with a much more interesting AFC East this season.
I think it just reflects how tough this whole conference and this division in particular is. When you look at projected schedules from what used to be Football Outsiders preview almanac each year, now it's Aaron Schatz has taken his talents to a different place. But they have basically, I believe, that at least the three of the toughest schedules are these. Actually, it is the four toughest projected schedules in the league are these four teams. In the order of New England, then Miami of the second hardest, Buffalo third, and the Jets fourth. So, I mean, they all have to face each other. Obviously, we know that these teams are going to be facing a lot of other opponents in this conference that are going to make it tough in general. Just such a stacked conference, as we've talked about leading up to the season overall. But, yeah, it is kind of, it's hard to see the Patriots there. It's the same way that when we get to the North in a second, seeing the Steelers at the lowest win total. It's not something we're used to. We've gotten kind of used to the Bills being at the top, but the fact that the Patriots are at the bottom is not something that I'll ever get used to. Probably it'll take quite a while maybe to work out the last 20 years of basically most of my formative football watching years to think of the Patriots at the bottom of this division. But I mean, that's the reality of it, given where the Jets believe they're going to be. In terms of actual projections here, I think, yeah, with the Bills at 10.5, you feel like they're going to be over that, but still some questions maybe along their offensive line. That's maybe one of the parts of the team that has you a bit worried. And again, yeah, this, they've had at times varying, not the easiest of schedules, but a little bit easier than this. So I think they're definitely one that the 10.5 might seem low. It's just, no, everything's kind of suppressed in this conference. So I think they're definitely, I would pick the over on it, but I think their floor is still somewhere down by 9 wins or so. If they really struggle against their division, if they get swept by either the Dolphins or Jets, I don't tend to see that happening. There's a reason they still have at this moment the highest projected win total from not from Football Outsiders again, but from Aaron Schatz's preview book. They're only behind Kansas City in this conference, but everyone's kind of lower. So Dolphins are one that's kind of, you know, so much hinges on the health, as we know, of Tua. They've also, it looks like they, at least the last update I saw, Tyron Armstead, they dodged a bullet with his injury. That would have, they, you know, their offense really tanked in the second half of the year, obviously, at times, especially in the passing game, not just because Tua was out, but as soon as they lost Armstead, things in the second half of a win over the Texans last year started seeing it dissolve. So they're one that's a little, I want to believe, you know, we're usually pretty optimistic here and we want to believe in all these teams, but they're the one that I'm think maybe has a chance to drop down. Maybe I'm just too confident in what the Jets have built on defense, and I know it's not always sustainable year to year the same way offense can be, but I think, yeah, they're projected to have the fifth best DVOA in all the NFL. So I tend to think they're out of those two in the middle, the one that maybe could dip below the Patriots. But the Patriots still again have the tougher schedule, even if their defense is really good. Is their offense gonna, is Bill O'Brien and Mac Jones and that whole unit gonna be able to take things up a notch? I know special teams wise, they believe they have a stronger unit than probably anyone else in this division, maybe Buffalo right there along with them. But yeah, it's I think in that, just quickly running through the others, for the Dolphins, I mean, I might go as low as like 6 wins if they, you know, if they don't stay healthy or if they lose the wrong guys. I think they're just a team that has kind of a boom or bust potential. I don't, you know, with Fangio coming in, and I obviously, if you listened enough to us, I love Mike McDaniel and what he's been able to do overall with Miami. I don't tend to see that happen. I just think someone out of these two is not going to end up with 10 wins over the total. And I would, if I had to right now, I'd probably say the Jets are the one I'd predict that's going to be more so in that 9 to 11 win range, and the Dolphins could dip down further. I still would probably say they're maybe 6 is a little too low. Maybe 7 is the real floor and a ceiling of like 11 wins. I think the Jets maybe ceiling's a little bit higher. And the Pats, I'd pick the over at 7.5, but someone has to lose these games. Like, you look down this list, it's like, man, how do you, I don't know. I think there's still that their floor is probably in that, you know, around that 7-win range. I have a hard time seeing their defense or offense being worse, but I think they could get up to anywhere, maybe more like 10, maybe not as high as the Dolphins and Jets with the potential. But if the defense is like top 3 in the league, maybe that's enough with an average offense for them to be in the race. But this division is just ridiculous. It's so deep. I have a hard time. You know, all these games are going to be must-watch TV, in my opinion.
What's interesting is, like you said, and you may have mentioned it, but when you just look at kind of the tie-ins with the schedules, obviously the AFC East gets a pretty brutal draw when you consider that they have the NFC East and they have the AFC West. So all those games, you know, become very interesting for these AFC East teams. And if you're wondering maybe why the Bills total may be a little lower than you would think, and even most of these, like you said, could be lower than you would think, but somebody has to lose games. But yeah, there's you look at some of these schedules, they're not easy, especially when you look at like a Bills schedule that, you know, includes back-to-back games, although there's a bye in between. Going to Philadelphia, to Kansas City, then have to come back and play Dallas, then have to go on the road to play the Chargers. So that's kind of have to go play at Cincinnati. So, and that's in addition to the road games in the division. So, that's one of the aspects, I think, of the scheduling for the AFC's teams that could keep them a little lower win total-wise, maybe compared to some of the other teams in this conference. But that could also put them in a pretty good position just having played that kind of schedule once they get to the playoffs. So we'll see what happens in the AFC East. All right, AFC North, Dylan. The Bengals, 11.5. Their projected win total here. Ravens are 10.5. Browns are 9.5. Steelers, 8.5. So everybody within a game of each other here when you look at it from top to bottom. Another one, again, we kind of, you know, used to seeing what we get. We know what we get from the AFC North, the kind of styles you're going to see from each of these teams now. And Lamar's back with the Ravens. Joe Burrow's back with the Bengals. Hard to know what to make of the Browns and Steelers. I think those are two teams that I probably don't, you know, I'd probably rank them in like the top 5 of teams I have the least grasp on perhaps heading into the season, because I just don't know. We talked about kind of the Deshaun Watson thing and all that. What's the difference between this season and last season when he came in? And, you know, the Steelers have some good parts. It's just, hey, they're also the team that's projected have the lowest win total in this division. So, as always, it's a battle in the AFC North, but not surprised to see the Bengals right there at the top. And when you look at, you know, this entire conference, at least as a whole, no surprise to see the Bengals with the tied for the highest win total out there, along with the Chiefs, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just the Joe Burrow factor, and it sounds the latest updates from Coach Taylor basically saying seems like he should be good to go by week one. Seems like he's in fine physical shape. I don't know how much they're going to give away there, but they did. I mean, just compared to the AFC East, the biggest benefit they have is facing the South instead of the West, I guess, as their cross division AFC opponent schedule, right? So a little bit easier strength on schedule projected from Aaron Schatz. And this preview compared, I think, Cleveland and Cincinnati at 22 and 18 and that kind of range. Baltimore still in the middle of the pack, Pittsburgh also. So just compared to the East, even if, you know, these are, in my opinion, top to bottom, easily the two strongest divisions in this conference, probably in the league also. But also just that little edge in the schedule might be what kind of makes a difference by the end of it when we talk about win totals and who ultimately makes the playoffs. So I think the Bengals make a lot of sense at the front. The interesting takeaway, I was, you know, these DVOA projections always help quite a bit. They're a big reason why last year with the Eagles, we were predicting them to to go well over their win total. Cleveland, right now, it's not by a lot, but they have the highest projected win total in this division, just over Cincinnati. I think it's just based a little bit on an easier schedule, and some of the projections are a little bit worried of, you know, Jesse Bates and some of the other guys in Cincinnati's secondary that are being replaced by some younger, unproven guys, and seeing if there is maybe one weakness to this team. I know the offensive line, obviously they've put so many resources to it. They're still projected to have the second best offense in the league, but the defense, they are looking at a potential drawback. So that 11.5, I still would go over because I'm, you know, as big of a Joe Burrow believer as anyone. And I think I tend to think that, you know, they keep all the coaching staff there for the defense. They don't lose Lou to, I know the Arizona Cardinals are potentially going to hire him. So I think they'll figure it out, I believe, on that side of the ball, more so than what I'm seeing here. But I do think Cleveland's an interesting one, and you know, there's a reason they're at 9.5. Even still questions of what it's going to look like with Deshaun, but that offensive line, the running backs they have, and the defense should be better. We keep saying that. I'm still kind of waiting to see it. I still think my floor for the Browns is probably closer to 6-7 wins, even if the projections have them as a 10-11 win football team. So they're one, though. I mean, ceiling wise, I don't know if I go any higher than 11. I think, whereas the Ravens and Bengals, if everything goes right for Baltimore's defense, where they've added a lot of talent there, and I think that some of the reinforcements they made in the second half of the year, we saw it have a positive impact. I think the Ravens and Bengals both, I mean, we're looking, depending on what, you know, the Chiefs are always going to be the standard here and probably still going to be the one seed after everything goes down. But if one of these team hits it right, I think they're kind of in that running two and have 13-14 kind of win potentials. We need to see Lamar obviously fully healthy, but I'm obviously very bullish on Todd Monken and what that offense can look like. And then the Steelers, I mean, they went 7-2 in their last 9 games. They are the lowest projected win total of any of these four teams by DVOA projections, but they are in that top half of the league. I mean, it's crazy to have a division that has four teams that are all projected to finish with top 16 records in the NFL, but that's where we have Pittsburgh. I mean, they're so solid on defense. Can the offensive line make the improvements that it needs to? Can we see Pickett be consistent week to week and this running game get going? I think that side of the ball is maybe a bigger question mark. I tend to think this defense is going to be great. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. This division's tough to try to, like, pick, like, the order. Like, picking a team at last year is honestly just as hard as we think, like, for the Patriots to be the one and the AFC East. I mean, the Steelers, until I see it, it's hard for me to think that they're not going to find a way to get to 9 wins. But maybe 9 wins is fourth place in this division.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you got the tie-in with the NFC West and AFC South, which congratulations, I guess, on that part, because, you know, who knows what to expect from that division, as we always say. But that's the tie-ins for this division in terms of the scheduling. And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really when you look at it, it's not easy, I guess, to predict the order of finish in any division sometimes. But this one, I feel like it's always, like, I just don't know how you possibly. But, you know, maybe, you know, having the Bengals at the top probably feels a pretty confident pick. But like you said, Lamar's, you know, back with the Ravens, and we know what they're capable of. And I just don't know what to expect from the Browns and Steelers. Like, I just think those are two teams that are pretty fascinating to me. I don't know that either one of them is winning the division, but, like, I also think there's a very wide range of what the, you know, the possibilities could be for both those teams. So,
100%.
So we'll see what happens with those AFC North teams. We'll circle back around, Dylan, at the end to maybe give our most confident picks, and maybe what we think are the teams that are the just wildest on these, or ones that we just feel like we have the least, you know, opinion on some of these win totals. Yeah. All right, AFC South, we just kind of talked about them. Jaguars at 9.5, Titans at 7.5. Boy, it dipped quickly there, didn't it? Colts at 6.5, Texans at 6.5. So only one team projected to have a winning record, at least if you go by these win totals. And, you know, this one, if you went under went the under slightly, you just have a team that's barely over, you know, 500 or such. So, I mean, look, this is, as we said going in, I mean, this could certainly be in the running with the NFC South for, I guess, worst division, if you want to call it that, however you want to label it, just based on, you know, I think, again, where these organizations are at right now. But not surprised, of course, to see the Jags there. I guess I'm a little surprised the Colts and the Texans have the same number here. But again, I'll have to.
Who do you think
is
lower? Who do you think should be lower?
Well, I mean, you would think the Texans would be lower, right? But yeah. I mean, you say that, and I don't know. I feel like I've been going backwards more and more on the Colts at this point. So maybe, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a position where some people might think the Texans should be higher than the Colts. But maybe not a huge surprise. But I guess if you're a Titans fan, maybe a little more disappointing that you're only one, you know, projected win away in terms of these projected win totals from those two teams now. But yeah, I mean, look, the AFC South, I think we've said before, I mean, if we talk about predicted order of finish and stuff, one of my most confident picks would probably be the Jaguars finishing first in the AFC South, because I just don't have any confidence in the other three teams right now to do that. So there you go, Dylan. 9.5, 7.5, 6.5 each for the Colts and Texans. Good luck trying to make sense of what this division could be. So
the thing that's interesting here that is a little different when we get to the next episode for the NFC projections, that you'll see that based on how easy the schedules those teams have this year, you'll see some bumps in like that expected wins from DVOA for the Falcons and Saints in particular, whereas there's no team in this division outside of Jacksonville that is benefiting from that. They still think, oh, you're going to have an easy schedule and you're going to lose to your easy opponents that you're going to be facing. These are almost exactly on the DVOA projections. They have the Jags at 9.6, Tennessee at 7.4, and then Indianapolis is only barely ahead of Houston, but 5.9 and 5.6. So those first two are almost exactly right on it's like they're probably looking at these kind of advanced projection kind of numbers to put these lines as accurate as possible. But it makes sense. I do think, this one, when we get to our season predictions episode coming up in a week or so, don't be surprised, when we both pick Jacksonville to win the division. I think that is going to happen, even if I think the Jags defense still has a lot of questions. I think Tennessee's defense that's kind of been the one pillar of that team, and they have still a lot of really talented guys that make me think, all right, I think Vrabel's done such a good job of getting the most out of these teams at times. I think they're still going to win somewhere. I'd still think they maybe get to 8 wins or 9 wins, but maybe it's more like 7 or so, just based on the fact that, that offense still, as we've talked about, the receiving corps pretty bleak. What's going on there? The offensive line is really, taking a step back. We don't have the most confidence in their quarterback situation. Obviously, we saw at times Derek starting to slow down last year. So I would tend to, as much as I want to say that one of these bottom three teams is going to go over their number, I want to say the Titans, I ultimately might pick the under, and I feel like I would want to regret that. But the Jags, even if their defense is bad, their offense is so good. I think they're projected to be the sixth highest DVOA offense. I mean, that's a jump from last year even. So they're really a lot of, it looks like, adding Calvin Ridley in there, what that could mean with how dynamic he was before suspension in Atlanta. So the group of pass catchers that already have so much rapport with Trevor, I think it's a pretty easy pick. The thing about Indianapolis and Houston is I'm excited for both teams in terms of the coaching hires they made, as we talked about. I really like Steichen. I really liked D'Amico, obviously, and very happy he's off the Niners coaching staff. But I do think just roster-wise, it's going to take some time. At times, Anthony Richardson has looked still a little – maybe it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get going. Obviously, same thing for Stroud was – a lot more pressure than he usually was facing there in Ohio State. So, it's going to be an adjustment period for those teams. And I just think roster-wise, maybe the defense of Houston has a chance to be a little bit better, and we'll see what D'Amico can do. But, it's pretty bleak for both teams when you have projected schedules to be the fifth easiest and the eighth easiest, and you're still picked to be two of the worst five teams in the league. And I'd probably go under on both these teams, unfortunately.
Yeah, it doesn't look pretty in terms of I'm looking at schedules here for these teams, and even though they're paired with who they're paired with, again, the NFC South being one of them, and of course we just talked about the AFC North, I still don't love any picks necessarily on some of these teams, although there's one I'm getting more intrigued by. We'll revisit that here in a second. All right. AFC West, there's a few more wins, I think, to be had here. As the Chiefs are at 11.5, the Chargers at 9.5, Broncos at 8.5, and the Raiders at 6.5. So, again, no surprise to see the Chiefs leading the way here in terms of the projections at 11.5. But, like we said, this division is pretty tough. And I think now, when you look at it, obviously the Broncos feel like they are going to be sort of rejuvenated this season with Sean Payton joining the mix. I think I'm still in wait-and-see mode on that. I know they can't be as bad as they were last year, but as for how much they get to, how many wins they get to, I think that's hard to really figure out at this point. Raiders, you know, I mean, we always I feel like we always have optimism for the Raiders these days, but it's just, can they break through in a division like this, like we said, that is led by the Chiefs, and you've got the Chargers, a team who you would figure comes out with maybe something to prove based on how last season ended for them. So, yeah, Dylan, I mean, this feels like it's pretty much, you know, the nature of the beast here in the AFC West, which when you look at the pairings, I'm trying to put this together, they're going to have the, I think it's AFC East and NFC North, I believe, is right. Yeah, 100%. So that's the two schedule pairings there for those teams. So, yeah, Chiefs leading the way, though, no surprise.
Yeah, the Chargers don't benefit from that that setup with the those two things, but more so having the, I think they're cross-flex to the other conference is the NFC East, and as a result, the Chargers get the Cowboys and the Chiefs, I think, get that Super Bowl rematch right with the Eagles. So kind of tough games added to their schedules already, you know, a slate for the Chiefs. They're always going to feel like they're going to be fine, and as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, there's a reason they're still the top, you know, projected win total team in the league. But they're only at 10.9 wins, so this is, I mean, that's only 0.6 off. I will say the Broncos and Raiders, easily the out of all these, as I'm looking over the DVOA projections, they're the two that are the most different easily than the actual, like, for example, the Chargers are exactly on the 9.5 projection that they have. They do have a bit tougher schedule, as mentioning. Also, we'll see if the defense at times, the run defense still a problem, and if Kellen Moore and everything translates, I think they're a playoff team, but still part of their schedule that, again, in this beast of a conference, someone's going to miss the playoffs that we, probably a few teams that we think are worthy and may have made it in the NFC. But for the Raiders, kind of surprising, they have average wins of 8.1. So that is 1.6 over this number. That's pretty good value in terms of, rarely do I see that big a difference between Aaron Schatz's projections and the over-unders. And meanwhile, Denver, almost a little over a full win underneath Denver, all the way down at 7.4. So yeah, I think that maybe a little more optimism people have with Sean Payton, and maybe it's warranted that he's going to be able to come in there and turn things around. I guess it depends on the defense. They maybe aren't going to look as, we got kind of used to being like, all right, they're going to at least be close to top 10 or in that range. If they're going to be that's this year, they're going to need some different guys to step up. I've lost some personnel, and I just overall, maybe it's going to take maybe a second to get Sean Payton to get everything going. I don't know. It's been an interesting kind of camp and all the, you know, ups and downs there. It doesn't sound like, it's not like everything just suddenly is perfect because they moved on to a coach that had as much success with the system he built in New Orleans after moving on from Hackett and what's going on there. But yeah, this is so again, the Raiders though, that one, man, 6.5 is maybe if it was 7.5, I think that's probably the number that is a little more warranted. Schedule's still kind of tough. I don't know, man. Like the DVOA projections are pretty bullish on their offense. They're projecting at 13th. I don't know. I mean, I know they have really talented receivers and route runners. Obviously, Devontae Renfro. Just overall, that roster looks maybe a little better there. But offensive line still has some question marks. See if everything. I believe Jacobs is still holding out. Correct. Like everything will need to get that kind of in place before we move forward. But I mean, their defense, I have a lot of questions about. So that's it's just the facing again, these, you know, having to face the Chiefs and Chargers twice each too. And the Raiders have come close in some of those games against both teams, but I just, maybe we'll see if Jimmy, I'd love for Jimmy Garoppolo to prove me wrong, but I think it's, I don't think it's an overly just lateral move from him to, from Derek Carr to him. I think he's worse than Derek Carr. So I don't know. We'll see. I'd love to be proved wrong, but I think 7.5 is a little better. I would probably take the over on 6.5, but I wouldn't feel good about it. I'd be sweating it out. Whereas like Kansas City at 11.5, I know they're, the real number maybe right around there. I have a hard time seeing them not at least get to 12-5, just the way with Mahomes and the way that they pull out close games. And obviously, Harrison Butker's pretty much one of the really clutch kicker, obviously. Some of the kick he made to beat Cincinnati obviously made a pretty easy one to win the Super Bowl. But overall, in the course of his career, seems to hit the big ones. Winning those close games can sometimes come down to something like that. So I feel like the Chiefs had I have a hard time having their floor much lower than 11 wins, so I'd go over there. Chargers are the weird one though. The projections for them only have them making the playoffs 50% of the time, so that seems like, you know, I want to believe, and I think you know, not giving away like overall playoff wild card picks, I'm going to pick the Chiefs on this division. I don't think that's surprising, but yeah. I think I'm still going to pick the Chargers to make it. But yeah, you look at the schedule. Those swing games against the teams in the East, I think, are going to be quite important, like especially Miami and the Jets. I mean, these are the kind of teams, if we think Buffalo, Kansas City, you know, Cincinnati, feel pretty confident about them making the playoffs, and you get to that next layer, I mean, they got to take care of business with the NFC North, as you mentioned, obviously, and also being the teams that are in their division that they think they can take care of with Denver and Vegas, which hasn't always been that much of an automatic. But I think the game against Miami and then against the Jets on Monday night, Week 9, those are two ones that I think are absolutely imperative for the Jets for the Chargers to get. And it's going to be wild. It's going to be just a ridiculous season in the AFC. So I feel like we're going to get to the end of the season and you're going to have like 12 teams still in play. With only like, you know, looking up and down this conference. I mean, like, seriously, out of these teams, the only two I'd be, or maybe I guess I could say three, or four. I'm trying to think, how many teams would you be shocked if they made the playoffs? Colts and Texans for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I'd probably say I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans got a wild card berth. I'd say the next two are the Raiders and then, I mean, maybe the Broncos. But after that, not really surprised if anyone in the East or North gets there. And then the Chiefs, Chargers, obviously, and then the Jags atop the South.
I'd be shocked by the Broncos.
You would,
I mean, I think the Broncos could get there, and I wouldn't be stunned. That would be surprising, I think.
I'd be surprised.
Like you said, I was going to say, it would be surprising, because I think it's hard in 1 year to just completely flip that. But I wouldn't be just stunned. Like, I think it's possible. But, yeah, it would... I think it'll take a little bit. So the two teams, and I'm kind of looking at this, and like if you want me to be Mr. Optimist for your team, the two teams that I think as I look at their schedules, I'm a little more optimistic than I thought I would be about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be like, wait, where are you sure you're talking? Because you always are the pessimist on this team. The Titans are one of them, because the more I look at the Titans schedule, I think, again, the NFC South tie-in to me helps it a little bit. And I think just being in the AFC South, where theoretically, right, you can get two wins over the Colts, two wins over the Texans. Although I think sweeping both of those are probably going to be very hard to do for the Titans. I just don't know if the consistency will be there. But, you know, elsewhere, I'm like, they can win a game in Cleveland. They can beat the Falcons in Nashville. They could win a game in Pittsburgh. You know, like I said, at Tampa looks a lot better now than it would have, you know, the past however many years. They get Carolina in Nashville. Yeah. They get Seattle in Nashville. And so I'm like, I could see the Titans actually winning. Double digits is hard to predict, but like, I mean, I can definitely see them winning
over that 7.5.
Nine.
Though.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm a little more, maybe a little bit more optimistic just based on the schedule with the Titans and the other team. And again, I'm very surprised I'm saying this, but I think, even in the AFC West, I can find enough wins for the Raiders to go over here. But it's a very interesting stretch, because here's the thing for the Raiders and their schedule. Three of their first four games, at Denver, at Buffalo, at the Chargers. They've got the Steelers sandwiched in there in a primetime game in Week 3. But if you keep going further down, they've got like a stretch of 5 of 6 games from November the 5th to December the 14th. All 5 games in Las Vegas in that group. And the road game in there is at Miami. They've got the Giants, they've got the Jets, they've got the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Chargers.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
All
schedule.
At Allegiant Stadium. Yeah, like in a span of basically a month and a half or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they get that many home games kind of built in there. And they only, I think I'm looking at this, I think there's only, you know, they only play back-to-back. They don't play any more than 2 road games in a row, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, but yet they get that 5 of 6 stretch there in November to December. Now, again, I'm saying all this because we've seen plenty of optimism for the Raiders before, and they'll go, you know, 1-5 in this 6-game stretch or something, and then their season's over. But I don't know. I think I'd go over the 6.5 if I had to, which, again, betting the Raiders is not something I'm very confident in doing ever, but I just feel like there is at least some opportunity there, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they start 0-4, right? Just given the schedule we talked about. So, and of course, you know, the Packers, they get that, which again, that is not as intimidating as it would have been a year. So, yeah, I mean, those are the two teams, just looking at this list here of the AFC, that I would probably circle as maybe the ones that, by no means am I confident in it, but I think if you're looking to make a gamble on these, which is kind of what this comes down to, I think the Titans and the Raiders are the two teams that I think there's at least some interesting value, perhaps, in going over that number. Whereas, like you said, going under on certain teams, I mean, that Browns 9.5 to me is, it just feels a little high. Because, again, if you're going to bet the over on the Browns, that means you got them winning double-digit games. And I think they're talented enough to do it. And, you know, the more I look at their schedule, it's not, it's certainly not the worst. But I don't know if I could do that. I'd probably go the under on them. Because, like we said, we've talked about the Browns. I mean, I think it's just you don't know what you're getting necessarily from Deshaun Watson just yet. And so I'd probably pick the Browns, the team that I would maybe not feel confident about. I'd go under that one. So
let DTR run the show, maybe, and we'll see what happens. But no, I mean, they're a tough. Yeah, they're definitely the team that the numbers love them. They have loved them previously, but not this much. I think the combination of the schedule and maybe some of the personnel that they've upgraded on defense. It always feels like it's going to be a little bit better. I know the thing is, last year, obviously Deshaun was awful. I mean, they were better offense really when Jacoby was in there. They had a lot of really tough close losses, and those are the things that you think that can't be overly sustainable outside of the Chargers. The charging seems to always buck that trend, but that's the Browns maybe aren't that far off from being in that kind of grouping. So I don't blame you for, when I saw that they had the third highest win total in the AFC, like projected from DVOA wise, like, I mean, that's striking, even if it's not that high, because everything's kind of bunched together at a certain point. But that is for sure the one that one's maybe the least confident of any of these. Like, if I had to, like,
they get some big games at home, and I think maybe that's what they get. San Francisco at home. Of course, they get the Ravens at home. They get the Bengals at home. They get the Titans at home.
And they play the Bengals well. Have they lost when Burrow started? Like, maybe once? Yeah. Or I don't even know if they have, but yeah.
Well, they are one of those interesting teams, too. They get four of their first five games at home. So there's a chance to build in some wins there. And they get a bye in there, too.
They get the Rams and Cardinals. That helps.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think the Rams are going to be better. They get the Jets at home too, and so I can see it. I can find 9 wins on here for, or I can find 10 wins on here for them, but I just don't know. That number, it feels high to me. I just don't know how I could bet the over on the Browns right now. I'd be fine with them going 9-8, but I feel like over that is, I want to see it first before I felt confident about that.
100%. I mean, they tend to have the games where you feel like they're going to win for sure, and then those are the ones that they haven't finished off. Like, they've beaten good teams, and then they'll lose to teams that are better than. So we'll see with them. I like both the Titans and the Raider picks, though, because as much as I don't know if this is the best thing long-term scenario, as we've talked about with the Raiders, like, are they just kind of stuck in the middle? Would it be better for them to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft? In my opinion, yes. But maybe the way that things play out, they're going to end up being kind of, again, in that middle group. They won six games last year. I think to see them win around that same amount isn't that crazy. But, again, after watching Garoppolo for a while, I have a little less confidence that he's going to be able to just kind of pick up where Derek Carr left off. So I do think I'm still less convinced. Whereas, like, the Titans, as you mentioned, like, you look at that schedule and then named off all those teams, and again, how just what Vrabel's done, they seem to win more games. I know they won less than 7.5, or they didn't win 8 games. They went 7-10 last year, but I don't know. A lot of things went wrong for that to happen. It's possible, but I see where you're coming from for those. I don't know if this is always the best case thing. This reminds me of, like, confidence when we'll do our lock of the week and I'll take a double digit team and they don't end up doing it. I still look at, like, the Bills especially the Bills compared to, like, the Chiefs and Bengals. I know they're in a tougher division, or at least have a tougher projected schedule than those two teams. But that extra win, I think, just, it's hard for me to see a 10-7 Bills team. I think they're at least an 11-win team. I feel pretty good about that one. And then I guess the Chiefs are the next one. I same thing with them. I just have a hard time thinking of them not winning at least 12 games. They always even when the defense isn't performing. It's just Andy Reid and Mahomes. I have too much trust in them with the schedule that's kind of towards the middle of the pack to not think they're going to be, you know, I think 12 wins gets them at least a top two seed or so, just with given how stacked this conference is. So those are probably my two most confident ones. That's just a cop-out to take the two teams that have, you know, along with the Bengals, been the best over the last few years in the AFC consistently. I don't know. There's something with that Raider number seems low to me, and the Titans one, I could see it too. But if I had this through confidence factor, maybe I have them just a bit lower. The Steeler one is the interesting one because they still defied again. They still haven't had an under 500 record under Tomlin, right? So, I mean, this would, if you say they're going to have the under, you're saying they're finally going to. Because unless they tie a game, I guess, and then you could end up right on that 8.5 number. I don't know. I think they're one I'd still just take the over based on that, because I still just have too much belief in what the culture they've built. And I think their defense has a chance to be pretty dang disruptive up front. They've looked pretty good. Obviously, it's only preseason, but I think that unit has a chance to take a bit of a jump. So maybe that's one that's on the little tougher range that I'd say, like, all right, I feel okay about that one compared to, like you said, the Browns are like the opposite of confidence. As much as I want to believe that they're going to go over and fill out those things, I'll believe it when I see it. It's more of a situation like that for them.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Chiefs one is 11.5. I would go over that. I mean, I think looking at their schedule, it's tough, but I see a lot of wins there, and it's, you know, again, that's barring injuries and that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's where, like we said, for a team like Green Bay, and not trying to knock the Packers, but it's just like you get them on the schedule based on it, but like it's just a different scenario now. And so I think it's, so we'll see, but I would probably go over on the Chiefs and the Bills too, because I think those are, like you said, just two teams that are really good and should be right where they've been the past several seasons. So, all right, Dylan, there we go. That was a look at the AFC win projections. And as Dylan said, we will kind of make our picks for everything in our super mega playoff predictions episode for the entire season. We'll make all our picks in that coming soon before the start of the season. But for now, Dylan, we will do the NFC win projections on the next episode. But a lot of stuff to get people ready for the upcoming season over at Clutch Points, so let everybody know where they can find all that.
You can go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section. Lots of, following obviously all the news, injury updates, depth chart changes, different guys getting cut, a lot of guys retiring. Basically everything going on with the NFL, you can find an NFL tab there. We also have at the top, you click fantasy, all of our sleeper previews, looking at fantasy football outlooks for just basically everyone that you possibly would draft. Lots of stuff on the top values, ADP values at different position groups. Got all that coming out this week and next week, pretty much, for the main two. So click on fantasy at the top of the site. And then, you can follow all the preseason and regular season games coming up in the Clutch Points app, too. So, tons of stuff. It's just nonstop with the NFL coverage.
Yep. Check it all out at Clutch Points. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks, as always, for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time. You're on the Establish the Pass podcast. Guest.